Genesis, chapter 25, the birth of Esau and Jacob. This is the story of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian, to be his wife. Isaac entreated Yahweh for his wife because she was barren. That means she couldn't have children. And this is quite a theme in the history of God's people, that some of the women couldn't have children. And in those days, to not have children was awful. And so God did this to them, I suppose to test their faith and to make them appreciate the children that they had. Because those children that, say, Rebekah was to have, Jacob, was the one through whom the promises of God to Abraham about his seed, his descendant, were going to come true. And so he wanted them to appreciate that what he'd given them in those children was really special. And so this is how God in principle works with us as well, making us realize how special things are and helping us to appreciate them. And that's why sometimes we don't get what we want from God straight away. So, God heard Isaac's prayer for Rebekah, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her. She said, "If it be so, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from your body. The one people will be stronger than the other people. The older, who was going to be Esau, will serve the younger, who was going to be Jacob." When her time to be delivered was fulfilled, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over, like a hairy garment. They named him Esau. After that, his brother came out, and his hand was holding on to Esau's heel. He was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. That means that for 20 years they'd tried to have children and couldn't. That's a long time. The boys grew. Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a perfect man living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he ate his venison. Rebekah loved Jacob. Now that wasn't a good thing, was it, that the mother loved one of the children, Jacob, more than she did Esau, and Isaac preferred Esau. And unfortunately, they didn't really learn, or Jacob didn't really learn from this, because when he had children, Joseph was quite clearly his favourite, and he made him the coat of many colours. So you see how people very often don't learn from the mistakes of other people in their families and those around them. We've got to learn from that and be humble and sensitive to the mistakes people make and the things we see around us, and to think, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to repeat that in my life. Jacob was boiling some stew. Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. So hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that red stew, for I'm starving." Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "First sell me your birthright." That means the right to be the firstborn, because the firstborn had more blessings, more inheritance from the father when he died and things like that. And so Jacob said, "Well, if you want some of my stew, then you must please give me your birthright, and I'll pay you for it by giving you some stew." It's a really mean thing to do. Jacob should have just said, "Oh yeah, you're starving, hungry, and I'm making some stew. Well, please have some." But Esau said, "Behold, I'm about to die." I don't suppose that was really true. "What good is the birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." He swore to him. He promised him. And he sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and the stew of lentils. He ate and drank, rose up, and went his way. So Esau despised his birthright. In the New Testament, this is quoted, and we're told how, unfortunately, Esau only looked at what was immediately in front of him. And later on, he begged his father with tears to change the outcome, and he couldn't. And Paul says, don't be like Esau, who for just one morsel of food sold his birthright. And that's sadly what we see people doing. People turn away from the hope of everlasting life in God's kingdom for the sake of a slightly better life than the person next to them. Oh, I'm going to get another job. I'm going to spend all my time on my job, my career, because I want to have a bit more money than the person me. I want to go on a smart holiday every year. I want to have a nicer car, a nicer house, a nicer kitchen than other people. And so for such tiny little things, they sell, as it were, eternity, everlasting life. And this is what we see all around us. And in these ancient stories, and they're not just stories, like make-believe stories, these are actual things that happened to actual people. We see how really nothing is new under the sun. We've all got the same human nature, and we all tend to look at only what is immediately in front of our eyes rather than looking ahead to the future.